Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from Exodus chapter 20, beginning with verse 13. Exodus 20, beginning with verse 13. Before we read God's word, let's once again go to him in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, the grass withers and the flower fades, but your word stands forever. We pray, our Father, that as we read your word, your eternal word, your holy word, that you would give us ears to hear, and that you would seal it upon our hearts and upon our minds. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Exodus 20, beginning with verse 13. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes from Matthew 5, beginning with verse 21. We're continuing our sermon series on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And in this sermon, Jesus is describing life in the kingdom of God, what life looks like following him as a disciple of him. And we've said this time and time again, you're going to hear it time and time again, the Sermon on the Mount is not a law. It's not a law. It's not a list of regulations. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. Rather, the Sermon on the Mount shows the character of life following Jesus, the disposition of life following Jesus. And that's life that can only come about through the Holy Spirit transforming your heart, through the Holy Spirit transforming your life. Now, in our passage last week, Jesus ended with these words. Last week, verse 20, Jesus said, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So what Jesus is saying is that life in the kingdom of God is righteous. It's holy. Life following Jesus is righteous. It's holy. And Jesus says, unless your righteousness, unless your holiness is greater than the scribes and the Pharisees, then you won't enter the kingdom of God. Unless your righteousness, unless your holiness is greater than the Bible scholars, greater than those who've devoted their lives to holiness, to those who've devoted their lives to study God's word, who devoted their lives to live out God's word, Jesus says, you'll never enter the kingdom. In our passage today, and for the next few weeks, Jesus is going to give examples, a number of examples of the kind of righteousness that he's talking about. So let's look at our passage. Chapter 5, beginning with verse 21. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you've paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, the Lord gave the law. The Lord gave the law to his people, and he gave it as a gift. God's law was a gift. The law showed God's people how he wanted them to live, how he designed them to live, how he desired them to live. What the law did was show how life was lived at its best, a life that is pleasing to God. Now, our Old Testament reading was from Exodus. Our passage was right in the middle of the Ten Commandments, the law. God designed you to live. God desires you to live. God said, life is lived best when you don't murder, when you don't commit adultery. Your life pleases the Father when you don't take the life of someone out of malice. Your life pleases the Father when you don't break the union of marriage. Now, can you check those off this morning? Check them off. Now, we may have our faults. Maybe I'll just speak for me. I may have my faults, but I'm no murderer. And I'm not unfaithful. But that's what the Pharisees said. That's what the scribes said. They didn't murder. They didn't commit adultery. And Jesus says that our righteousness must exceed them. Our righteousness must be greater than them, must surpass them. And then he explains how. He tells us how. And he does so by offering a contrast. Jesus gives a contrast. He gives a contrast between how the scribes and the Pharisees understood the law and God's intent for the law. He gives a contrast about how the scribes and the Pharisees interpreted the law and God's actual design for the law. And Jesus begins with these words. You'll find these in verse 21 and 27, both places. Jesus begins, "You have heard that it was said." He says that twice. "You've heard that it was said." And then Jesus quotes the law. He quotes one of the Ten Commandments. "You have heard that it was said, you shall not murder. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery." But here, Jesus is not only quoting the law, he is doing that, but he is also talking about a very narrow interpretation of the law that was given by the Pharisees, that was given by the scribes. And that narrow interpretation that the Pharisees and the scribes gave to the law had to do with the external, with the exterior, with act, with deed. The scribes and the Pharisees believed if you did not commit the act of murder, if you did not commit the act of adultery, then you kept the law. You were righteous before the Lord. You were holy before the Lord. But here Jesus is saying, hold on. Hold on. "You have heard that it was said, but I say to you." I say to you. Here Jesus teaches with authority. Here Jesus interprets the law with authority. Now normally rabbis, normally teachers of the law did not do this. They didn't say, "Hey, you've heard it was said, but I said." They may have said, "Hey, you've heard that it was said, but Rabbi so-and-so says this." They quoted other authorities. They quoted other teachers. They quoted established tradition, but not Jesus. Jesus says, "But I say to you." And Jesus can do that because he is God. He is God made man. He is God in the flesh. And so Jesus shows the true intent of the law, the true design of the law. And Jesus shows us that it's more than exterior. It's more than external. It's more than act. It's more than deed. The law has to do with the heart. It has to do with your heart. Listen to verse 21 and 27 again. I'm just going to read them back to back. "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So Jesus says murder is not just the act of taking someone's life. It is that, but it's not just that. Jesus is saying adultery is not just an unfaithful act outside of marriage. It is that, but it's not just that. Jesus says you can commit murder in your heart. In your heart. Through anger. Rage. Anger toward another person, anger directed at another person, anger resulting from pride or vanity or a wounding of pride or vanity, anger resulting from hatred, anger resulting from malice, anger with a desire for revenge. Somebody did something to you. You want to get back. Anger where you want to get rid of someone. Not only get rid of them from your presence, get rid of them, get them out of your life, but where you actually wish they were no more. Did not exist. We're dead. Jesus says, that's murder. That's murder. He also says you can murder someone through your words. You can murder someone by insulting them. You can murder someone by tearing them down. Verbally. What he's showing here that there's a connection between the tongue and the heart. The tongue and the heart. And Jesus uses two examples to make his point. The first one he uses is calling somebody a fool. The Greek word here is more, which is the root of our English word moron. Somebody who acts unwise, someone who lacks judgment. The second one is in verse 22. Now, this one's a little bit hidden in the English Standard Version. The English Standard Version, which is what we read out of, says, whoever insults his brother. The Greek actually translates, whoever says raka to his brother. Now, raka is this Aramaic word that means empty. Where you're calling somebody empty, where you're calling somebody a nothing, where you're trying to reduce them to nothing, verbally make them nothing. Non-existent. And Jesus says that's murder. That's murder. It may not be the act of murder. It may not be an actual homicide. But in the eyes of God, in the eyes of the Lord, in the court of the Lord, it's murder. And Jesus says it deserves punishment. He also says you can commit adultery in your heart, not only murder in your heart, but adultery in your heart. He says you can break that law in your heart. And you don't even have to be married. Jesus says if you look with lustful intent upon someone else, he says you've committed adultery. Not just look, but lustfully look. And that includes people that you're around. That includes pictures. That includes images. That includes advertisements. That includes movies. If you allow your eyes to linger, if you allow your mind to wander, if you allow your imagination to take you places, Jesus says you've broken God's law. You're guilty of adultery. You're guilty of sexual sin. And what Jesus does here is he's setting forth this principle that the law not only shows what life is that's pleasing to God, the law shows what life pleasing to God, but the law also exposes your heart. That's what else the law does. It exposes your heart. When we know how God wants us to live, then our eyes are open to how we are not living it. When we know how God wants us to live, then our eyes are open to how we are not living it, and that is sin. Breaking God's law is sin. Not living it out in our heart is sin. The law reveals our sin, shows us our sin. And it's more than external. It's more than just what we do or don't do. It's also our heart, what we think. What we imagine. The law shows us our sin and shows us that we need a Savior. that we need Jesus. The very one who gave the law, the one who shows the intent of the law, the one who shows the spirit of the law is the one who came to free you from the law. Jesus took your sins upon himself. He took all of your deeds. He took all of your words. He took all of your thoughts that break God's law on himself. And he took it to the cross. He took your place before God. He took the very judgment that we deserve, namely death and hell. And in return, he gives us forgiveness. And in return, he gives us life. Life in him. Not life under the law, but life in him. And he gives us a new heart. He gives us a heart that's full of him, a heart that sings for him, a heart that lives for him, and a heart that desires to live life pleasing to him. So how do you live a life pleasing to Jesus? Well, the law. The law. Not for salvation. Jesus Christ has saved you. The law won't save you, but the law is there for us to live out so that we can give glory to God in our lives. And let me put it this way. You don't want to murder, not so that it earns you favor with God. That's not why you don't want to murder. But you already have favor with God through Jesus Christ. So you want to please him. So you don't want to murder because you know that pleases God. In other words, saved by Jesus Christ, you want to live a righteous life. You want to live a holy life, which is what the law sets forth. Which is also what Jesus sets forth here in the Sermon on the Mount. And the righteous life, the holy life, is deeper than deed. It goes beyond the exterior. It cuts straight to your heart. But there's still a battle there, isn't there? There's still a battle there. And we have new hearts. We have transformed hearts. We have forgiven hearts. But the sin is not entirely removed. The poison is not entirely removed. Our hearts are still a battleground. The heart is a battleground. In Jesus, we know murder is a sin. In Jesus, we know adultery is a sin. But we still get angry, don't we? We still speak words that tear down. We still look with lust. We still let our imaginations go where they should not. We still sin. But Jesus is there to forgive. Again. And again. Go to him in repentance. Go to him and confess and know that his grace covers your sin. But also ask. Go to him and confess, but also ask. Also pray. Pray that the Lord would win the battle in your heart so that you don't want to murder, so that you don't want to commit adultery in your thoughts through your words. But Jesus also gives more advice. He gives more instruction in our passage as well. And the first has to do with murder. Jesus gives two examples in our passage. And in both cases, both examples that Jesus gives, somebody has something against you. Somebody has something against you. You've insulted them in some way. You've wronged them in some way. And one is a brother and one is an enemy. One is set in worship and the other one is on the way to court. Jesus says, if somebody has something against you, if somebody has a grievance against you, he says, go make it right. Go make it right. Now. Immediately. He says, if you are in worship and you're about to offer your gift, he says, leave it. Go make things right first. Do that first. Ask for forgiveness. Confess your fault. Don't wait. He also says, if you're on the way to court, if somebody is taking you to court because you have wronged them, he says, make it right before you get there. Don't wait. Confess your fault. Ask for forgiveness. Don't wait. Jesus is saying, just like murder is a horrible crime, Murder is a horrible crime. Just like murder is a horrible crime, in God's eyes, in God's kingdom, so is anger. So when you sin against someone, when you speak in anger, when you insult them, when you tear them down, when you wish them dead, ask for forgiveness. Be reconciled. Don't wait. The Apostle Paul puts it like this: don't let the sun go down on your anger. Well, Jesus has different instructions for lust. That was for anger. He has different instructions for lust. He says this in verse 29. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. Now, Jesus is saying, if you're struggling with lust, if you're struggling with sexual sin, tear your eye out. Throw it away. He says, cut off your hand. Throw it away. Now, he's not speaking literally. Rather, this is a dramatic figure of speech. What he says is supposed to be jarring. It is. Jesus is saying, if you are struggling with sexual sin, he's saying, don't look. Don't look. Throw your eye out. There's a connection between the eye and the heart. There's a connection between the desires of the eye and the desires of the heart. He's saying, don't look. If your eye causes you to sin, if it causes you to sin, then don't watch certain movies. Don't watch certain commercials. Don't use certain advertisements. Don't look. Whatever it is, Jesus says, don't look. Pluck your eye out. And he also says, if temptation comes through your hands, through what you do, he says, don't do it. Don't go there. Don't go to those websites. Don't use your computer when you're alone. Whatever it is, don't go there. Cut off your hand. Again, Jesus is not offering a new law. He's offering practical instructions without being too specific because he's concerned about your heart. And he knows that everybody's struggle is different. The struggle in your heart is different than the struggle of your neighbor's heart. But he wants you to see your need of him. And he wants you to live for him. He wants you to live a life pleasing to him, a righteous life, a holy life, just as God designed. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your Son. We thank you for his sinless life. We thank you for the salvation that we have in him and through him. We thank you for the new heart that we have because of him. Father, we pray that as the battle continues to rage in our heart, we pray, thanking you that you will be victorious. But we pray, Father, that you would give us victory day by day. We pray, Father, thanking you for your law, that it's a gift, that it shows us our need of your Son. And it also shows us how to live for your Son. Father, by your Spirit, give us the strength to do so day by day and hour by hour. Father, help us to live in your grace. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.